Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, baby. Yeehaw! I'm a gay cowboy. All right, put them up. Your butts, I mean. Put them up. I want to smack them and put my nose in them. All right. I'm sorry. That got out of hand. Yeah. This is going to be a short episode. Because I think people are still on the Charlie Kirk situation. They're still covering it, and dissecting it, talking about it. We don't even know the details about it yet. So far, it's unfolding like a soap opera. It's a soap opera out here, okay, people? It's a soap opera slash sporting event. It's like if a soap opera had sports team fans. And that's all there is now. And that's, you know, first we got the, you know, the shooting happened, gasp. Then it's like, who done it? Then it's like, ooh, manhunt, even though it was completely unsuccessful and the guy turned himself in, which was, ooh, anticlimactic or intriguing. Then it's like, oh, he's probably left-wing maniac. Then it's like, ooh, what? He's from a Republican family who loves guns. What? And now it's like another curveball got thrown today where it's like, he was dating a trans woman. What? Say what? So it's just, this is kind of, and she didn't know anything about it, supposedly, allegedly. But that's the safest thing to say, honestly, at this point. What are you going to say? Yeah, I knew he was going to do it, and I gave him an extra great blowjob that night just out of a gratitude for the cause. And so, you know, whatever, more power to her. Say, go lie your ass off on that Bible. It's like, what has that Bible ever done for you? Yes, I think that's where we're at. I think that's the latest update. There's so much going on, and also there's so much of nothing going on. That's the thing about this is how boring the controversy is, because it's so expected at this point. People are so mired in their positions that this is actually boring. The actual tragedy itself, horrific, 31-year-old guy shot in the neck, terrible, terrible thing, et cetera, ipso facto. People have strong opinions about whether they like him or not. I don't know. I covered all that in the last episode. It seems like a lot. There's a lot you could criticize this guy about, but the couple of quotes I've seen floating around the internet are actually taken out of context, so they're not making a good argument in that way. The conservatives are also not making the best art. They're kind of just making it seem like they're these terrorized, persecuted minorities, which in a way, politically they are. They have been. That is true. Yes. They were like lepers. You know, conservative Republicans are like, they were like social lepers, especially in colleges and shit for the longest time. In college and universities. And in a lot of jobs, in a lot of industries. So, you know, that's not entirely untrue, but it's like, come on, let's not make this, you know what I mean? Like, this is not Moses right now. This is American politics. And the problem with that is that it's gotten, like I said, American politics has gotten so goddamn boring because nobody has moved an inch in any direction of understanding the opposition, or even of the only way we've ramped up is towards killing each other, apparently, right? And this is a both sides thing, okay? It's not what about ism, it's like what about them, okay? Because it's a thing. So people are murdering, we're just placing hits on each other. It's like the Italian medieval Italy right now with the Italian factions just going at each other, and it's not gonna end. I have no optimism in that department. But then your only other option is, once you kind of rise above and get a bird's eye view of this partisan bullshit and how they're just trying to recruit people, the stupider, the younger, the better, to a cause. And then, you know, they say a bunch of inflammatory stuff. And then when one young man or autistic person, both groups, which especially when young, have a tendency to fly off the handle at the wrong time, wrong place. And then everybody's just scrambling to find an explanation and blame everybody. So this is all, it is just, but it's boring at this point. Nobody, everybody I know on Facebook, that's just insane. Even the insane people are just predictably the same insanity. It's like, can you start wearing a tinfoil hat? Can you do something new? I'm here for the entertainment value. That's all I'm here for. I want to see what's going to happen, preferably from the comfort of my own home and away from all of it, in a way where it doesn't affect me personally at all. But I want to see what happens. I want to see where this goes. I want to see the whole movie, but I don't want to get involved and I don't want it to affect me. Can I have both of those things? I don't know. Probably not. Can't have your cake and eat it too. But that's why it's really not worth, it's not worth really analyzing the Charlie Kirk assassination for what it is. Maybe you could do some tangential stuff, which I'll do, but that's it. It's, what else are you going to say? These people are so boring. There's nothing to say because nobody has said anything different. Nobody said anything new. Nobody has any, forward-looking perspective or suggestions that might help. Nobody, you have nothing. They have nothing on either side. They have nothing. And because they have nothing, they are just recycling and regurgitating the same talking points, the same platitudes, and the same sentiments as they were 20 fucking years ago. 20 years, dude. If I had known that this was just going to be like this, I mean, this is like when a soap opera drags on too much. It's like, how many times is that guy gonna die and then mysteriously come back to, then you realize he wasn't dead at all. He faked his death. He had amnesia and everybody thought he was dead. It's like, how many times are you gonna do that trick? This is boring. Politics is just, it's not in a good place right now in terms of entertainment value. But anyway, look, if you want to look at bipartisanship, okay, if you want to look at a bipartisan way that eliminates even the thought of political parties, right, you got to actually start thinking outside of your box, okay? There are many ways to think about this that don't devolve in, into mudslinging and bullshit and tribalism. There are, because here's the thing we all have in common. Let's say for gun violence, right? All right, I'm gonna jump into this fray right here. Okay, I'm gonna just say one thing. If you want to look beyond the partisanship, if you want to look past it, back to the actual issues. Okay, it seems pretty clear to me that what we all have in common here is that we got a lot of young men and trans women who are young men, wink, basically being the predominant shooters, shooters of masses. And that kind of goes across the board. I think it continues to be the same kind of guy, but then as they get older, it's fewer and fewer, but they're still around, angry, disgruntled, maladjusted for some reason, something happened, right? It's across party lines, it's across racial lines, in urban centers, right? You got black guys, very young black guys, kids, really. It's not even black adults, young adults, right? There's like a lot of the crime being committed is they're children, really. They're 16-year-olds, right? 14-year-olds even. And those are young boys. And this is happening across the board, right? You get a gun in a kid's hand that's about that age, or even like a 30-year-old man child, and something like this you know, will eventually happen, because that demographic, right, they have hormonal changes, a lot of testosterone, right? Young guys have delusions of grandeur and vanity, and they're just, you know, they guns blazing, right? And then you got the whole Hollywood culture that's promoting that shit while at the same time condemning it, but then also promoting it, right? Also making it look sexy as hell, but also, no, don't do this amazingly sexy thing that's going to get you the most beautiful women and the most cash you'll probably ever see in your life. And also, you'll be in exotic locales with these beautiful women and delectable meals and people just groveling at your feet because you got a gun. You have a gun now. And if you can just use it right, you can shoot your way out of this life you hate for whatever reason that may be, because of trauma, abuse, shitty neighborhood, neglect, just general malaise, and or even just an actual genuine awareness of how fucked and twisted this society is, in the ways that it is. And it's just a thing, like, if you go on TikTok, autistic people frequently self-describe themselves as characteristically having an outsized sense of justice. And that's a good term because, you know, look, it's not like, you know, a couple of trans people are mass shooters and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, what's going on with it? It's more like, a couple is kind of a lot when you consider all of them. And I think if you take the percentage of like the population sample of how many there are really within the general population, they are overrepresented in the data. Let's say that. Okay, utilitarians. All right, fucking there you go. And so that's notable. It doesn't mean anybody should attack them, harass them, hate them, anything really. There's always going to be people who body modify in one way or another, who do things, they want to look a certain way, they want to like show up in the world the way they want, fine. But it is notable, right? And so there's also an overlap with autism and trans people, right? I don't know. This is me just spitballing here, right? But it's like there are connections, just like there are connections with dudes and violence. They're overrepresented in mass shootings, let's say. I think they're almost exclusively the only ones who do it, really. Right? The girls once in a blue when they're on their periods, maybe. Bad day. That's it. So, I don't know what to do with that information, though, right? How do you make some common sense legislation to address that without curtailing people's basic civil liberties and their rights? How? I don't know. Personally, I have no clue. I don't know. I mean, the only thing to do is to spy on them, I guess. And then that way, the only right you're kind of undercutting is privacy, which is probably be the way to go because we don't have any privacy anymore. The point is moot that you want to protect privacy because we all gave, not only do we not have privacy, we gave up our privacy willingly for cat videos. You know what I mean? Just to see a world star. Just to be able to be out here seeing the Charlie Kirk assassination in almost virtually real time, right? You gave up your freedom so that you could go and be voyeurs into other people's lives and violate their privacy. So it's a victimless crime to just spy on guys between the ages of, I don't know, let's say 13 to 100 and keep an eye on them, monitor them. No, probably just 13 to 20. Two or some shit like that, right? That's probably like the red flag years, really. And then, I don't know, maybe some military guys when they come back and you know, the fucking, the vibrations from a nearby grenade shake their brains back to an earlier age. Maybe those guys, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the solution to this is, because it's a real quandary. People are like, oh, then I guess, you know, there's the whole, like, is it mental health and all this stuff? Yeah, I think it is, actually. I think there is an issue with mental health. I think people resent it being connected to guns immediately, though, right? And only when we're talking about guns. We should be talking about mental health, but we should really be talking about mental health. So far, the only thing we've done is added a lot of therapists to the general population. I don't know how that's going to solve anything, because the main issue is our technology, our governing bodies, our corporations, our elites are all using extremely ever more sophisticated technology to manipulate and alter and modify our behavior. In the interests of somehow giving them more power and money, and it keeps working, right? It's this society. The problem with this society is not the corruption. The problem with this society is the efficiency. We've gotten so good here at giving you what you want that we can even change what you want so that you want something else that they have so they can give that to you. And then they change what you want. Everything in this country has become also a drug, if you think about it. The level of technology has gotten so sophisticated that they have literally made things that never were vices into vices. They made food a vice. Your food is a drug now, right? If you go to McDonald's and if you go to places like that, the food is tinkered with, is made in a lab like meth and altered in a way where it affects your receptors in a very similar way to drugs, right? Your phones have been gamified to remind you to be more like a casino, which is a way to make very basic rudimentary activities, scrolling, pulling levers, buttons, right, into an addictive pursuit, right? They've made clothing a vice where you just completely gaga over fashion to an unhealthy degree. They've made the pursuit of information a vice where you become addicted. You doom scroll, right? You scroll, you go down rabbit holes, right? Doom scrolling is more like the casino thing, but the doom scrolling is not that. But the rabbit hole thing, that's making knowledge a vice. This society is not corrupt. It's actually never been more efficient than it is right now. It's so good at basically enslaving you to any material thing that you're into. And the problem is that the only solution to that, the Christians are doing it, but they're so annoying. And the thing is that what they think is the thing that makes them able to thrive in this is not actually the thing. It's the thing beneath that thing, right? It's basically like listening to yourself, right? But for them, it's God. I don't know if it is or it isn't. Okay, let's just say, all right? Maybe psychologically you could argue it is. But I'm just saying, like, they're annoying. So nobody wants to listen to them, but they actually have a couple of suggestions you might want to run with to save yourself. You don't have to go to church for it. And so in a sense, I do think we should maybe, it's not conservatives we should listen to, but I think ever since Christopher Hitchens, you know, it's been this trend of demonizing religion. And That is idiotic. That's a stupid thing to do because you're only doing it because of how powerful you actually think it is. You know, you're actually, if you really hate religion, it's probably because you are so terrified of it because you think it actually has power over you. And so you hate it because you actually believe in it. You believe in it more than someone who's just, you know, just who doesn't give a fuck. It's just like when minorities give white people more credit than they have earned in terms of, you know, like whatever conspiracies, anti-black, anti-Latino, anti-Asian conspiracies. I'm talking about the real wackadoodle ones, you know, where we're talking about Yacoubia and shit. You only think about it like that because you actually do think that white people are terrifyingly powerful and that they're capable of this. And it's kind of like, and this is kind of, I'm a little ambivalent here, government conspiracies, right? Because I personally believe in, I believe that government conspiracies, that is a good thing we do here. We should speculate. We should not trust. We don't trust a bunch of people behind a door and just say they're fine. They're working in our best interest. Get the fuck out of here, right? You should be very skeptical. You should come up with wild ideas and shoot them down. You got to like be on top of these assholes because they're assholes. Politicians are empty husks just waiting to be filled like a jelly donut, but up the ass with all kinds of private interest groups and rich people. So, but then on the other hand, the level of conspiracy sometimes gets to this rarefied space where it's almost spiritual warfare. And that's because you actually think the government is more powerful than it is. So it's it's your superstitions that get you to that place. And so that's what I'm saying. I don't even know what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that, look, for the first time, and this is according to UNICEF, all right, children with obesity outnumber those who are underweight around the globe, which is partially something to celebrate, but also very depressing. Because that's what I mean, right? Food is a vice now. Food is a vice. It's actually poisonous. And that's the same thing with a lot of other things that used to be noble pursuits. They have gamified everything. And the thing is, it doesn't mean that they are all powerful, all encompassing, and you can't get away from it. It's very easy, right? You ever put down your phone and within the hour, you're fine. Because the good thing about these kinds of new efficient ways of distracting you is that once you're back to paying attention to yourself and your life, it's like a spell is broken, right? It's like it never happened. It's easy, but that's what makes it hard. That's why quitting cigarettes was the hardest shit I ever did, because it's the easiest thing to quit, actually, right? Just don't smoke. It's actually not that hard, but that's what makes you complacent. And you go, maybe tomorrow. I'll do it. I mean, I've done it before. Maybe tomorrow, right? And that's what this is all about. That's what this is about. And you know what they say? They say cigarettes are worse than heroin. And there's a reason they say that. And it's because it's, you know, it's the ways that it fucks you up are very subtle. Just like everything now. They are using this technology, these platforms, to modify your behavior. What's that guy's name with the dreads? John Lanier, something like that. He's not even on the internet anymore. But he went on to kind of tell people, I think. He was like, you just don't go on the social media platforms. They are personality modifying boxes. You go in, you come out the other side. And you can see it. I've followed people on Facebook for like 20 odd years, and I see them. They're just like a little fucking holding pen of psychos just being riled up and riled up. And, you know, that little psycho clit just being rubbed and rubbed and rubbed. Anytime something happens, Charlie Kirk, anything. And it'll never end because everybody on Facebook's like, hey, you know, maybe I'll get off tomorrow, spend some time with my kids. Hey, maybe tomorrow, you know, we have a picnic. Hey, maybe tomorrow. And next thing you know, your fucking kid's 40 and they're leaving and you missed it because you needed to go on Facebook and vent about Charlie Kirk. But anyway, I am done breast milk pumping, so I gotta go feed my baby and have some burgers. You guys are great. You can do it, okay? I believe in you. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow your daemon, and don't listen to anybody else ever. Fuck them. Even if it tells you to jump off a cliff, fucking do it. Fucking, what are you fucking afraid of, huh? Death? You should be, though. That's pretty scary. But anyway, look, thank you for listening. And I'll talk to you again soon. I'll talk to you again this Thursday with some new news. Maybe we'll get away from Charlie Kirk, unless something amazing happens, in which case, I'm back. So, yeah, thank you for listening to this podcast. This was the Melissa Diaz Report. I was Melissa Diaz, and now I'm out. Have a wonderful week. Goodbye.